Ladies and gentlemen, duh, do you think? Oh, really? You don't say. People use these snarky expressions when they want to suggest that something is so hugely obvious that 10 out of 10 people will see it instantly. In a sane world, a good example would be hold word, or look say, as it was called when introduced in 1931. This is the famously bad reading method where kids have to memorize thousands of sight words as graphic designs, as shapes, as outlines. Most kids can't even memorize hundreds of things like that, graphic designs. Decade after decade, hold word produced dreadful results. It's the main reason we have 50 million functional illiterates. The presence of this obvious hoax in elementary schools would seem to be proof of a vast conspiracy. Duh. These opening paragraphs are from an article published about 10 years ago when I tried yet again to jolt Americans into revolting against this stupid hoax. Once again, I failed. The reading crisis continued. The whole thing is Kafkaesque, bizarre, counterintuitive, and ruinous to millions of children. Apparently, the geniuses of our education establishment spend all their time concocting new excuses and alibis which the public gladly clings to. Here are the main excuses. The experts mean well, they just can't get their act together. Everybody's different and needs a different method. Rome wasn't built in a day. Good work takes time. The local superintendent stated that everyone is doing the best they can. If your kids can't read, it's his fault for being born without the right genes. And with such alibis, the bad boys of our education establishment do what they want. I suspect that deep down the average citizen simply does not want to deal with the sordid, ugly possibility that there are people at the top of the education establishment who want the scam to continue because they prefer a dumbed-down America. Please don't forget that Marxists hate this country and hope to destroy it. Evidently, ignorance and illiteracy are part of the world's most obvious plot. Meanwhile, the successful people most likely to combat the education establishment have their kids in private schools so they're not immediately affected. They coast along hoping the so-called educators will get their act together. This is very bad policy. Semi-literate kids in public schools will be voting someday. They will be manipulated into helping eliminate the last good ideas in K-12. Have you noticed that the FBI and Department of Justice ignore congressional demands for documents? Congress is entitled to see what it wants, but the malfeasant bureaucrats do whatever the heck they want, much like our education bureaucrats. Why should they bother listening to the public? That's not who they work for. Now, my point all the way through is that reading is very easy to teach. All the phonics experts insist adversely. Every child can learn to read in the first grade. Instead, anti-reading quacks effectively keep children from learning to read by middle school or even high school. Why don't the alarm bells go off? Out of frustration, 10 years ago, I wrote pieces about learning to read, one for the Princeton Alumni Weekly and a different one for the Mensa Bulletin. I thought the editors would want to help me spread the truth. Certainly, alumni need to know the options. Both editors brushed me off. They didn't want all that truth, or what? I was merely articulating what Rudolf Flesch told the world in 1955 in his famous bestseller, Why Johnny Can't Read. I propose the people at the top should be rebranded the illiteracy establishment. I believe they are all co-conspirators in the most obvious conspiracy in the world. Please check YouTube for my video called Reading is Easy. It's only 4 minutes, and then you'll understand how big and obvious the conspiracy is. Final thought, reading is the worst problem in K-12, but but only one of many problems. The common denominator is that the professors insist on using counterproductive methods that simply don't work. Thank you.
Overview. Let's Fix Education explores seven of my favorite themes. First, this podcast is a meditation on what I call the K-12 crime scene. So many destructive ideas. Understanding them is the key to fixing them. Two, by doing that, we will have better schools at less cost. Three, nothing much changes decade to decade. The big questions of the 1930s were the big questions of the 1960s and the 1990s. Any subject we discuss can easily intersect with any other subject. Most people instinctively want traditional education, but the education establishment fills classrooms with progressive gimmicks. The result is that we have a standoff, and that's why you run into the same ideas over and over. Four, the big brains in education keep telling students, don't bother memorizing this or that. You can look it up later. B.B. King, the great guitarist, is much smarter. He said, the beautiful thing about learning is nobody can take it away from you. Five, Lenin's ghost wanders through our school system. The hard left thinks big. If they have to kill millions of people to build their perfect society, that's okay. Same goes for dumbing down millions of students. Totalitarians want power. They will do anything to get it. Six, if we are going to survive, we have to take each child to his or her limit. As it is, we are creating millions of sub-educated students, from K right through college. Seven, analyzing education, especially dysfunctional education, is a lot more intellectually interesting than most people suppose. You'll enjoy this. Finally, P.S., my book, Saving K-12, runs parallel to everything discussed on this podcast. I also have an education site, improve-education.org, with 70 articles that complement everything discussed here. And I have hundreds of articles on the internet. Enter a topic in Google with my full name, Bruce Dietrich Price, and let Google make suggestions. Thank you for visiting.